KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
KJAN News is brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. And at 8:06, we have cloudy skies here in Atlantic and 31 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy today with a high of 45 and winds southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The Creston Police Department reports four recent arrests. On Wednesday, 34-year-old Michael Eugene Matherly of Casey and 39-year-old Robin Lynn Matherly of Creston were both arrested for violation of a protection order. Michael Matherly was taken to the Union County Jail and later posted bond. Robin Matherly was transported to the Adams County Jail. Thursday morning, a homeless man, 24-year-old Keegan Wayne Williams, was arrested on an outside agency warrant in Creston. He was transported to the Adams County Jail. And Thursday afternoon, 41-year-old Chastity Carrie McFarland of Creston was arrested for theft in the fifth degree. She was cited and released on a summons to appear in court. The Page County Sheriff's Office Thursday reported on a single vehicle personal injury accident that took place at around 12:34 p.m. on Monday. Authorities say the accident happened in the 3200 block of 305th Street, or about 3.5 miles east of Brownieville. An investigation determined 36-year-old Emily Christine Garcia of Clarinda was driving a 2001 Nissan XTR eastbound when the vehicle went out of control on the soft gravel road. When Garcia tried to regain control of the SUV, the vehicle swerved and entered the north ditch, where it struck the bank and became stuck. Garcia, who was the only occupant of the vehicle, suffered possible undisclosed injuries and was transported to the Clarinda Regional Hospital by the Clarinda Ambulance Service. Damage to the vehicle was estimated at $500. There were no citations issued. Page County Sheriff's Office was assisted by Clarinda Ambulance Service, Brownieville Fire and Rescue, and the Clarinda Fire Department, along with Page County Emergency Management Agency. The Iowa Department of Transportation is requesting public input for the proposed replacement of the Iowa Highway 92 bridge over Seven Mile Creek southwest of Lyman here in Cass County. The project includes replacing the existing 150-foot by 26-foot I-beam bridge with a three-span 204-foot by 40-foot bridge. New bridge approaches will be constructed along with the paved shoulders and new guardrails, and construction of the project is anticipated to begin in the spring of 2023. There will be a detour, of course, during the construction process. For general information regarding the proposed improvements, you can view the information online at www.iowadot.gov/PIM. A mass COVID-19 vaccination clinic was held at the Tyson Events Center in downtown Sioux City on Wednesday. Officials say around 1,500 people received their first dose of the vaccine. Siouxland District Health Department spokesman Tyler Brock said the vaccine demand is still high, and a mass clinic can help to meet that demand a little.
We know it's not enough. We know there's more people out there still that want vaccine and haven't been able to get it. But we also are starting to see more and more people actually cancel their appointments because they're getting vaccine somewhere else.
The clinic was only for people in Woodbury County who are 65 and older, teachers and others who are eligible. 65-year-old Gloria Anderson got her vaccine and said she's a little uneasy about the possible side effects from it.
But I think that getting it is better than the risk of not getting it.
When the event was announced last week, the phone bank got 7,000 calls from people trying to make appointments for 1,500 slots. This was the fourth mass clinic at the Tyson Event Center in Sioux City. The University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics also has been holding large-scale vaccination events in Iowa City. A year after the pandemic, Quad Cities-based Deere & Company says they're planning to reopen their facilities across Iowa and elsewhere within several weeks. Hundreds of Deere employees have been working from home since early 2020. Spokeswoman Jen Hartman said the company gives them a lot of flexibility to manage their work, but it's time for a plan to return to the office.
We can bring in additional employees 10, 15, 20% at a time. And of course, Deere in so many states and locations globally has to look to their local guidelines, but you know, we are looking at that phased approach starting here in the spring.
Many Deere factories were only shut down for a short time by COVID-19, if at all. She says the company has worked to make sure customers and dealers have the parts and services they need when they need them. Deere held its first virtual annual meeting with shareholders on Wednesday, during which Chairman and CEO John May made remarks about how consequential the past year has been for the 184-year-old company.
For those of us that work for Deere, it's one we feel tremendous pride in, particularly when we think about just how critical the work is that so many of our customers do. And so I appreciated you know, John's expression of gratitude to the dealers and employees and customers.
During the meeting, Deere announced its first quarter earnings and an 18% increase in the dividend, rising from 76 to 90 cents per share. The reliability of clean energy was thrust back into the spotlight following recent power failures in the southern U.S. In Iowa, a leader in wind energy, advocates are speaking out against any misinformation being floated about in public debate. The extreme cold that gripped the central U.S. in mid-February led to massive outages in places like Texas and Oklahoma. That prompted politicians opposed to renewable energy to claim that frozen wind turbines were to blame. But electrical grid experts say the lack of weatherization of fossil fuel plants was a key factor. Carrie Johansson of the Iowa Environmental Council says in this region, wind energy has been dependable in cold weather.
We did not have problems with icing or turbines shutting down because of the weather, because the turbines are prepared for that.
In regions that typically see colder weather, industry officials say turbines are fitted with de-icing equipment. John Johansson said that the reliability is crucial because wind now accounts for more than 40% of Iowa's electricity. Other supporters, such as the Environmental Defense Action Fund, say grid capacity needs more investment as well as modernization to prevent solar and wind development from stalling. Those groups say there is bipartisan support behind clean energy, which they hope will survive political attacks backed with misinformation. The EDAF has issued a new poll which found 70% of independents surveyed backing a clean energy boost to prevent future failures. The group's Keith Gabby says that Congress should build on that support and increase grid investment as renewable costs come down.
We now have the cheapest form of new power when you add renewable energy to an energy system. But we also need to make that system stronger, resilient in all conditions, and has the ability to move the power around efficiently and effectively.
The same poll found broad support, including 78% from both independents and Republicans, for increasing energy storage capacities. Gabby says after Congress completes work on the current relief package up for debate, they hope lawmakers give clean energy investment a strong look in subsequent economic recovery bills. I'm Rick Hansen, reporting for KJAN News. KJAN News brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796.